Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
I just like it. I feel like I'm in the woods. It's my happy place. How you guys doing? Cool. I'll take that. You guys like the weather? Weird, huh? It's like a warm, like it was freezing last week, and now it's kind of warm, but it's still kind of stormy. Kind of like the stormy. I don't like the wind necessarily, but the storm's kind of cool. Days that like this that I'm speaking are kind of weird. I've been in my own hole, my own cave all day long. I haven't talked to anybody else. I start feeling awkward around myself and making myself feel weird, so... If I make you feel weird, it's just because I'm just feeling that way. But I had a completely different message on my mind this morning, and I was excited about it. And I felt like God told me to hold off on it because I think what he was saying in kind words were, Josh, your heart is a little bit further than your head on this one. In other words, my passion was there, but I just can't quite articulate it the way I want to articulate it. And so I think there's a lesson there, and that's why I share this with you. Not because you're not going to get something amazing. You're actually not going to get the junk that I was going to give you, which I would have done it. I would have done it happily, but it just, my head wasn't there. Have you ever been excited about something, or basically, have you ever been interested in something and you're excited about it and you want to tell everybody about it, but you just, it's almost like God says, okay, I want you to be interested in this because I want you to put the work in first and then you can tell people about it. You guys ever been there? And so that's where I was this morning. And so I sat and prayed and God gave me a completely different message for tonight, which happens sometimes. And so I think the other side of that is that some of you are here tonight and you need to hear something different than I thought you needed to hear this morning. So I try to listen. I try to be careful with what I say. I take this job seriously. And I hope and pray that you guys came in it with a serious mindset as well. I hope that we're all here tonight to hear what God has to say to us, because that's what matters. I could get up here and be goofy, funny, goof, whatever. I could say, I could give you all kinds of facts. We could learn a lot of stuff tonight. We could do all kinds of stuff tonight with our time. But ultimately, I lay that aside, and I hope you do too, and in order that the Holy Spirit shows up and just shows us exactly what he wants to show us. Does that sound good? All right, cool. I don't like wasting people's time, and so that's kind of where I'm at. But let's go ahead and pray. Oh, and also with that thought, some of the scriptures tonight, I have quite a few. And so with that thought, just be thinking through this stuff with me. And if you get into a mindset tonight where you get stuck on something I said, that's probably God. Okay, so if you get stuck somewhere and you're like, even if something I say says something else to you, just stop there and put a note down in your phone. I don't care if you pull your phone out. I'm not going to say, hey, quit texting. Just pull your phone out. If you have to do that, if you have to write on one of the cards behind your seat, jot it down, because that's God speaking to you. And that's the work he wants you to put in for this week. Okay, sound good? All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this night. We thank you for the day that we all had. Whether we felt it was good or not, we thank you for it. Because if it wasn't what we thought was an ideal day, then you were trying to teach us something through that. Lord, you were trying to show us something. You're trying to show us that you're still here, that you're real, and that you care. For those of us who had a normal day, I pray that we would just we'd be revived right now, Lord, and we would just hear and know that you have something to say to us. I pray, Lord, for every single person that's listening on the internet or is here in person, that we would just open up our hearts right now and lay down whatever's on our mind. We would just lay it down to you, and we would just be open to receive whatever it is you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tom announced the podcast thing. We're actually doing like a live podcast on Sunday nights at 6. And so we're going to be launching that podcast. in hopefully by the end of next week. We have to get it approved still from iTunes, but we'll let you guys know. It'll be on the web, on the main website, and then it'll also be at rethinkchurch.com, which isn't up yet, so don't check it yet, but it will be up next week or so. So you guys can listen to that, check it out. You're more than welcome to come on Sunday nights to the Northwest campus at 6, but that doesn't mean that we're not doing service here also at 6. Does that make sense? All right, so Sunday morning services, there's two of them, and then usually the speaker comes back and does Sunday night. But this week it's going to be a little different because we're actually going to be doing our podcast on Sunday morning. Probably shouldn't have told you that, but hey, there you go. We're doing that on Sunday morning, and then we're going to be at the Northwest campus on Sunday night, but then we're going to show a recording of the service in the morning at night. Makes sense, right? You guys are with me? How many of you did I just super, yeah, you guys are like really confused now. Okay, let me just simplify it for you. Just show up sometime Sunday, okay? All right. All right, we're good. We're good. Show up somewhere on Sunday. And if you don't, it's always online. All right, so we're going to start tonight. It's going to go this way tonight. I apologize, but again, don't listen to me. Listen to what God has to say, all right? But we're going to start in Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to read about a guy named Moses. So Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. Now, it came about in those days when Moses had grown up. Moses is a man, all right? That he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors. He walked out and he sees his brothers and sisters working in slavery, right? And he sees them, and then he sees an Egyptian who are the oppressors, the people that are enslaving the slaves. He sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brothers, and he gets fired up. He gets mad. And so he looked this way, then he looked that way. And when he saw there was no one around, he struck the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Straight up murder, right? He went up the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other. And he said to the offender, "Why are you striking your companion?" But he said, "Who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and said, "Surely the matter has become known." But when Pharaoh heard of this matter, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. All right, so what's happening here is this vicious cycle of sin. Now, I'm not going to ask in here who has murdered somebody and who hasn't, okay? I don't want to know. None of my business. In fact, that would just give me too much responsibility. So I'm not. But how many of you have actually committed a sin against God? Think about it. Right? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We may not all be murderers, but we've all done something to where we've fallen short. It says everyone, all of us. Period. Right? There's another verse in Romans. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we've all sinned, right? And the wages of that sin is death. It's just death, right? And but God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to take that from us. And then Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved." That's good news. Right? And it's very simple. We'll come back to that later. But going back to the story of Moses, we see this cycle of sin. How many of you guys have ever gotten excited about something, pumped about something? God puts something on your heart, something good, and you go to do it, and then immediately you're reminded of who you were. Whether it was 10 minutes ago or whether it was 10 years ago. You're reminded of who you were, and that stops you in your tracks. Fear sets in, and sometimes we run away. And when you see Moses, who he ran away, and you see him, he runs into a completely different land, and you see him, he's sat by a well where he could get water. I think that Moses was depressed. I think it was more than just a sad feeling. I think he was really down because he had it in his heart to do good at this point in life. He's like, I'm going to do something about this injustice that I see. But then he was reminded that he's actually part of the problem. So the question that I have for all of us tonight, and this is what we need to do. This is the work that we don't want to do necessarily. This is the stuff we don't like to get into a practice of doing, but we all need to ask ourselves, where am I right now with God? Where am I? So as not fun as it is, I want you guys to just think right now of the worst thing that you've done, all right? I'm serious. Just think about it for a second. How does it make you feel? How does it make you feel? Unworthy? What if Jesus, tomorrow, what if you're thinking about these things you've done and you're thinking about these sins that you've committed and these crimes, these things that you've done against God, and what if you met Jesus on the street? What would your attitude be? What would it be? Would we meet Jesus and say, ah, sweet, man. Finally, I just want to show you how good I'm doing. Or would we meet Jesus and say, oh, man. Ah, you got me. And what would Jesus' attitude be towards us? I want you to turn or look on the screen, John 8. Let's go there. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And we'll move on. Keep going. You guys have to set the pace for me. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and he began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, they brought a woman, okay? They brought this woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they set her down. They said to Jesus, teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now, in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say? And they were saying this, testing him so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and he wrote on the ground. They persisted asking him. He straightened up and he said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw the stone. Then he stooped down and he wrote again. And the best part comes up next, right? He said, when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the oldest ones. They all left. And then at the end, he was left alone and the woman, where she was in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? Did no one punish you? And she said, no, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not punish you. I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more. I mean, that's Jesus, right? That's the heart of who he is. So there, on one end, there are these sins that we've committed in our past that we feel bad about, right? That we have hopefully come to terms with. And maybe you haven't. Maybe tonight you need to do that. You just need to get it off your chest. You need to tell the Lord once and for all, I confess this is a sin, and I trust you 100%. I believe in you. I believe that God raised you from the dead. I confess you as Lord and Savior. And you just need to be cleansed from it once and for all, right? And if you've done that, then you are cleansed. You are good. You're fine. You just got to trust that God actually did that. And so some of us, we have these sins in the past, and guilt keeps coming back into our lives because of these things that we've done, because of these dark places we were in. And some of it was our fault. Some of it wasn't. I mean, some of you, honestly, you were victimized. And that's a very true thing. It really is. You may have made the choices that you made, but it's because of all this other junk that has happened to you. And you didn't realize the things you were doing was so bad until later on. And that might be the case. I don't know. But either way, we've done things to where God, he has to look away. Right? He had to look away from us. But Jesus took every single sin upon him, and then God looked away from Jesus, and Jesus took the actual condemnation. He actually took the punishment from us so that we could be clean before God. I mean, that's really the miracle of what it means to be a Christian. So if you're dealing with guilt from sins, then the guilt is no more, right? It shouldn't be anymore. You should just be able to breathe in sigh of relief and say, you know what? Yeah, I messed up, and there might be some consequences that you're dealing with this to this day. I don't know. But ultimately, you're not going to be dealing with a punishment from God. You're not against God. God is not against you, okay? If you have given your life over to Jesus Christ and you've called him Lord and you've confessed him as Lord and you believe that he died and believe that he rose again, you're okay. You're good with God. And if you're good with God, then guess what? No one else is going to throw a stone at you. No one else can throw a stone at you, right? So that's the pretty side, okay? But now I want to go into something a little bit deeper. Let's go ahead and turn. That's like an old school ringer, by the way. I'm kind of impressed to even have that. It's not like a song or anything. It's just like an old school telephone. It's like, are you carrying around one of those old school telephones with you? Do you have a cord? It goes from here to your house. Anyway, Luke 5, we're going to go there. It's like some deep stuff, and then somebody's phone goes off, and then you're like, hello. All right, Luke 5, 18 through 24. And behold, some men, we're carrying on a bed. I'll read from the screen here so it's easier. And some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed. They were carrying like this person on a stretcher, basically. And they were trying to bring him in where Jesus was. This is kind of in the middle of the story. Jesus is in his home, and he's doing some good, doing Jesus stuff with his friends and family. And these men bring this guy into Jesus to heal him, okay? But not finding any way to bring him in, because of the crowd, they couldn't get him in through the doors. They went up on the roof and they let him down through the tiles with this stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. So Jesus is in his home. He's teaching, and he had just healed some people, and people are all trying to get to Jesus and they can't get to Jesus. And all of a sudden the roof just opens up and they're like, what? And then this guy comes down on a stretcher, right? And they're like, okay, seriously, can you heal this guy real quick? Sorry to interrupt, but can you heal this guy? And seeing their faith, so Jesus sees these guys' faith, that they just literally did like a breaking and entering. They broke into the home. And so when Jesus sees their faith, he says, friend, your sins are forgiven you. Okay? And the scribes and the Pharisees, there they are again, the religious leaders, they began to reason, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins have been forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home. So Jesus heals this guy, right? But only after he says your sins are forgiven as well. So Jesus is making a huge point here. Jesus is saying, yes, it's important to heal the body. It's important to do these things to help people live and have a great, wonderful life. But it's much more important to forgive sins first. And the scribes and Pharisees, they get up and they accuse him of something called blasphemy. Okay? So they accuse him of blasphemy. We're going to go into the next scripture, and we're going to keep that in mind, blasphemy. Matthew, and I only gave them one of the verses, but I'm actually going to go back and read a little bit more. So guys in the back, just put up what I gave you when I get there. Matthew 12:22 is where I'm going to read. It says, then there was brought to him a demon-possessed man. So again, people are just bringing they're really sick and really messed up friends to Jesus, right? And so they bring this demon-possessed man who was blind and dumb. He was mute, okay, is what it is. He couldn't speak and he couldn't see. And Jesus healed him so that the dumb man spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed. Oh, you guys are fast. All right. And they began to say, this man cannot be the son of David, can he? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this man casts out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. And knowing their thoughts, he said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? But if I, by Beelzebul, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? So if I'm casting out the demons by demons, then how are your sons casting them out? Whose authority are they casting them out? Consequently, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off the property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? And so Jesus basically is rebuking these Pharisees and scribes that are rebuking Jesus. And Jesus is just tired of it, I think, at this point. So he fires back. They're like, he must be casting out these demons with the help of demons. And Jesus basically comes back with the greatest comeback ever, and he basically says, that makes zero sense. Like, that literally makes no sense, okay? And if that's the case, then who are your sons casting out demons? Are they the same thing? Are they casting out demons from demons? He's like, listen, there's good and there's evil. There's the demons, okay, and then there's God and his angels. Like, there's two sides here. I'm on one side. That's what he's saying to them. And they're like, no, he must be doing something crazy. Because here's the thing about the scribes and the Pharisees. They weren't concerned about the good Jesus was doing. They were concerned about the fact that he was going to mess up the way they did things. He was going to mess up their ability to control people. He was going to mess up their ability to be seen as great religious leaders. He was interfering with their own pride and their own way of doing things. He was messing up their system. And just so we're all clear and understand this, when we have a system and we've been living by that system for a long time, it's very hard to change our minds. It's very hard to change the way we think, okay? It really is. And earlier I was talking about sins that we've committed that we knew were wrong, but now I'm gonna go into a world that's a little less comfortable, and I'm gonna talk about sins we commit that we don't know are wrong. Are you willing to give up your own system, your own way of thinking, your own way of doing things, if biblically it were rendered wrong? Think about it. And let me rephrase the question. Are you open to being corrected if you're wrong? Let's say you've been a Christian for years and years and years and years and years. Let's say that you've done things a certain way and you've said things a certain way for years and years and years and years. And let's say the Holy Spirit tells you, hey, maybe through somebody, maybe through multiple people, maybe through your own reading, maybe through your own prayers, but the Holy Spirit comes in and says, you're wrong in this area. What do you do with that? Are you going to take the position of the scribes and Pharisees that are just making stuff up at this point to try to protect their own system, their own way of thinking? Or would you be humble? In other words, if you met Jesus on the street tomorrow, what would your attitude be? Would your attitude be, hey, here's all the things I've done right. Here's all the things I'm doing so well. Or would your attitude be, man, I hope I'm doing this well. I hope I'm doing this right. Is he still your teacher, is my question. And I know this isn't fun to think about, because thank God that he's died and he's taken all of our sins. But as Christians, as believers, we are constantly supposed to be checking our own hearts and our own minds. And we are constantly supposed to be coming to him and constantly laying down to him and constantly trusting him to fix us. Because we get a little off, don't we? It just happens. When we start watching too many YouTube videos instead of spending time in prayer, when we start reading too many books about the Bible and forget to read the Bible, when we forget how smart the devil is, and if we forget how tricky his ways are, all he's trying to do is get you out of the game, man. And if he can get you out of the game and you don't even know you're out of the game, that he's done pretty good. You've got to constantly check. And I listen, I love you guys. And the only reason I'm telling you guys this is because I know that you know, and we know, and we can work together on this, right? I'm in a place in my life where I have a lot of questions about God. But I feel this pressure in getting all my doctrine correct. And I feel this pressure in just knowing everything that's in the Bible. But then in prayer today, I'm thinking, I'm praying, and God's speaking to me, and he's like, Josh, yeah, it's important that you keep learning. It's important that you keep you know, filling your mind with good stuff. But ultimately, I don't want you to know all about me. I want you to be close to me. And that's what God wants. He desires a relationship. Head knowledge is good. It really is. It's not a bad thing. But when it gets in the way of the important things like, I don't know, loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself, then it's off. It went off. You went off track somewhere, right? So anyways, Jesus literally goes off on these Pharisees. And the next verse is Matthew, where I stopped, I'm going to start back up at verse 30. He says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. And whoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. And so Jesus is giving us this sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit as the one sin that he says that cannot be forgiven. And what it really means in context, where he's coming after these religious leaders, he's saying, if you are coming against my name and who I am and what I am doing, then you're coming against what the Father is doing. And you don't even realize it. You think you're working for him, but you ain't working for him, homie. You're working for the other side. That's what Jesus comes in and he says, and he's like, and he takes this very serious. And now I know I'm preaching to the choir in a lot of ways here, and you guys aren't there, right? But if the devil were good at his job, he'd try to get you there, wouldn't he? I don't know if he is good at his job or not, but I know that he's trying to push us into thinking we're right when we're not. And if we are constantly checking our hearts and constantly checking our mind and constantly laying down before the Lord. And that's what worship really means. Worship really means to prostrate yourself before God. If you're laying your life before God, then you're humbling yourself before God. And that's how you check your heart. That's how you check your mind. And he won't allow you to become somebody that is much more in your own eyes than you ought to be, right? And so I would encourage you to continue to do that and then set an example for the people around you to continue to do that, because blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, I don't know exactly what it is, but it sounds like it's pretty bad right here, right? You can go back and read it yourself. Look up the Greek words. BLB.org is a really good website to look up Greek and Hebrew words. And it's free if you have internet. Who doesn't have internet, right? You can go to the library and get internet. BLB.org. Don't all write it down at once. Okay. So Jesus comes against, what time is it? It's 10 till 8. Okay, so I got a few more minutes. So let me just backtrack and think about all the characters that we talked about tonight. Moses, okay? Moses, he did something really bad. He did. It was a crime of passion. He murdered somebody. But he felt bad about it. And he was in a place where he thought he was doing the right thing, but he just wanted to please God. I really believe that. Because God comes around and he meets him where he's at. And God shows him this bush that's burning and God speaks through him. And you know the story of Moses. God chooses him to be a great and mighty leader. And he does have to kind of pay for his sins later. But ultimately, this is Old Testament stuff, so he's not under the blood of Jesus, but God does redeem him. We do see a redemption story here. It was a sin. He messed up. Okay, he got selfish. But ultimately, he was never trying to go against God. He was never trying to fight against who God was. He was trying to do the right thing. And some of you guys have been there, right? And some of you guys have been selfish, and you've just messed up, and you didn't know the Lord, or you did, and you just sin is sin. It stinks. It's not good. It doesn't help you at all. It keeps you away from God. But ultimately, you're covered, right? Ultimately, God can still do amazing things in your life if you sinned, okay? And that's beautiful. It's wonderful. And it's true. Jesus, in the story, he did the right thing. Jesus is the ultimate example for us. He does the right thing, even though the religious authorities at the time are constantly coming at him, constantly just, they're trying to beat him down. They're trying to take him down, and he continues to do what's right. Continues in the face of adversary, he continues to do what's right. And that's the ultimate example. So obviously, a huge example for us. The woman, we don't know what happens to the woman who was caught in adultery, really. It doesn't say. Some people think she might have been, Mary Magdalene. I don't know. It doesn't say in the scripture who she is. But we know that she was saved from punishment. We know that her meeting Jesus was probably a pinnacle in her life. And the fact that when she met him, who knows what she expected? She's being dragged by these religious leaders to another religious leader. She probably thought, oh, here we go. Here we go. This is going to get ugly. I'm about to die. And then he says, you're free. You're good. You're pardoned. You're fine. And in that story, it's commonly believed, my dad believes this, and it's kind of implied in some of the Greek words that are used there, that Jesus was basically calling out all these leaders, that they were guilty of the exact same sin that they were calling this lady in for. And just a huge moment right there. And those leaders, maybe it was a pinnacle moment in their lives. Maybe they went back and thought some things through. Maybe they at least thought, I'm not doing that again, right? Another character of the religious leaders, they were definitely in the worst place. They were inadvertently fighting against God because they were more in love with their ideas, with their religion. They were more in love with being seen as leaders. They were more in love with their own pride and their own arrogance, and they weren't in love with God. And again, I don't think anybody here is like that, but we just want to be as far away from that as possible. And I'm going to say it one more time, the way to do that is to bow yourself before God, to humble yourself, to spend time in prayer, to spend time in worship. Have you guys ever been in a bad place? Maybe your mind's getting cluttered and you start feeling guilty, but then you start worshiping God and then it just all goes away. And I think what happens is we get close to God and it's like a proximity thing. We get really close to him and we see how small we are, but then we also see how much he loves you, how much he loves us. And then we see we just start to feel that we're covered here. Like we're protected by this Father who really does care about us and who really does want what's best for us. So if you've sinned, if you've messed up, Jesus has taken it from you. All you have to do is trust him. So let me go back to those Roman verses again. That's where I wanted to begin and end. But Romans 3:23, this is a part of the Romans road, they call it. But for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who's that? All of us, right? All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. It really is. The wages of sin is death. But, and that's a huge but, right? But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord, right? And then that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Let's just say it together. Jesus is Lord. With your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You got to believe that because he died and took all of our sins upon us, but then the Lord resurrected. That's what he does, right? We're down with our sin. We get in the ditches. We're in a bad place, and God always brings us back up. He always brings us back up. That's what he does. He's in the resurrection game. That's his business. His business is resurrection for us, right? And so if we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved, right? And that's what the gospel really is. So let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for who you are and what you do. And God, I just pray that all of us would understand who you are. Lord, that we would have a full understanding of who you are in a way that's relational. Lord, let us know you. That's the free gift. This eternal life comes with knowing you. And I pray, Lord, that each and every single one of us would understand the beauty of that gift. And if you're here tonight and you have never given your life to God, we want to give you an opportunity to do that tonight, okay? And what I'm going to have you do is I'm going to have you say a prayer with me in a moment, and then I'm going to have you, as soon as you're done saying that prayer, walk up here. You don't have to do this, okay? This is a strong suggestion. This is for you. But if you want to believe the prayer and you want to go home, that's fine. But believe the prayer and believe that Jesus is Lord, okay? Do that tonight. But then if you want to come up and tell somebody, that'll help you. It'll just help, I promise. And these guys are up here to pray with you and help you solidify that. It's done in your heart, but this is just, I don't know, there's something about sharing with another believer who really loves the Lord. And so you have an opportunity to do that, and you can get help in learning how to become a Christian, okay? So if you want to do that tonight, I'm just going to ask you to pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, or Lord God, let's start all over. My dad just said the other day, he's like, don't pray to Jesus, we pray to God the Father. Sorry, so we're going to start that over, right? Say, Father, thank you for sending your Son to this earth to take my sins upon you. I love you. I confess you as Lord. And I believe that you died for my sins. And I believe that you were raised by the Father. And I love you and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, guys. See you later.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.